Welcome to episode 161 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Last week I explained that I'd bought a Canon PowerShot G10 on October 17th, the day that it was put on sale here in Japan. And I've basically, you know, been playing around with the camera for a few weeks now. Still very happy with it. But you know, last week I finished preparing for the podcast. It was a bit long, so I decided to split it into two parts. And here we are with the second part today. Basically, you know, last week we looked at the camera itself, and today we're going to start and look at some images that I've shot with the G10 over the first few days with the camera. I'm not going to upload the images to my online gallery, so you know, we won't be calling out numbers and having the opportunity to look at them, you know, look them up there as we normally do. But I will include the images, a small version of the image, in the enhanced podcast, and I'll also, you know, I'll drop them into the MP3 file if that's what you listen to as well. But you know, basically, I think probably the easiest way, because there are a lot, if you're not listening to the enhanced podcast, that is the easiest way to look at them. And even if you can, you know, if you're at a computer, I would take a look at the PDF file that I released last week, as that was episode 160.1. And basically, you know, you can open that up, and it will, if you don't stop it, it'll try to go to full screen. And then it'll go through a slideshow. It's basically just an export from Lightroom. But you know, if you stop it, you can read the you know, the titles and things as well. And you know, basically just take a look at the images in slightly better or slightly higher resolution than normal. Also, though, I've zipped up the all of the full size images that we're going to look at today. All of the images that we'll look at today. I've zipped up the image, I think there's 20 in total, and just put them into it. I think it's about 88 megabytes, the file, but I'm going to link that to a post that I'll put into the forum, and you'll be able to download the zip from there. And basically, that'll be, you know, that will enable you to open them up in your, you know, on your computer and sort of just view them at full size. And I think that's probably the only way that you'll really be able to appreciate you know, the sort of the noise levels with some of the higher ISOs, and you know, and also just really appreciate the, you know, the quality of the images. And you know, I'm not too worried this time about sort of intellectual property as much. Now they're good snapshots, but they're, you know, they're not particularly by any means fine art photography. So you know, I'm not too worried about putting these out there full size. But please do, you know, make sure that you don't sort of pass these images around without letting people know where they came from. So anyway, you know, as I say, there'll be a link in the show notes to a forum post, and that will have the zip file there for you to download and take a look at if you want to do so. So let's jump right into it and continue with the second part of this two-part episode on the PowerShot G10. The first image that I wanted to look at is kind of as a link between the following examples and the pictures of the G10 itself that we looked at last week. And this is one that I shot of my 1DS with a couple of lenses after I'd done some shooting of the G10. The reason that I wanted to include this is because I thought it was a pretty cool, well, I don't know, I wasn't really just wasn't expecting it, but I could simply take the Speedlight transmitter STE2 off the 1DS that I've been using to shoot the images of the G10, and just drop it straight into the flash shoe of the G10 to fire my speedlights that I was using to shoot with. You know, it had worked like a dream. I didn't check to see if this was supported or anything, but I just had to switch them around, and I was basically going to just shoot a few images for that the little banner that we have at the top of the gallery side of the martinbaileyphotography.com website, where You know, it sort of randomly cycles through a bunch of images of kit that both myself and listeners have donated. And basically, I just thought, yeah, I'll shoot a few of these images while I've got the lights set up and everything in the background there. And when I came to switch cameras, I thought, I wonder, you know, what I'll do about lighting here, because it was getting pretty dark. And then I just thought, well, you know, it's all set up. Why don't you just try the ST-E2 on the G10? And like I say, it literally just worked. And, you know, it saved me a lot of messing around. Didn't have to figure out how to light anything else. So shot this one and then went on to shoot a few of the lenses as well, because there's this a little bit of new glass there, which we'll get into in a near future episode. I'm not going to spend much time talking about each of these images today, though, as you know, there is a lot to get through. There's some 20 after this. No, 19 after this, 20 in total. So I'll just touch on the main points as we walk through them, and maybe just, some of the images will only be up on your iPod or in iTunes for a few seconds. But, you know, it's, like I say, the PDF's there if you want to take a look at them at your own pace. So the first two sort of real example shots that I wanted to get into are these first two images that I shot through one of the windows at my day job office. And, you know, both were handheld, but I was resting on the window ledge, sort of, you know, leant over and rested on the window ledge with my forearms firmly down on there. So I was able to handhold this first one for 1 second at ISO 100. And basically, obviously the image stabilization that's built into the G10 probably worked as well. And obviously, though, you know, although the scene is dark, there's really no noise to speak of because I was at ISO 100. For the following shot, I raised the ISO to 400, and you can see more grain, but still very, very usable. Earlier compact digital cameras would have been much worse than this, so Canon are definitely improving, and when you consider that they've crammed almost 15 megapixels onto the sensor of the G10, this is pretty good. By the way, I have done a little bit of minimal rotation on the image, and then the obvious crop that comes with that, because the shots were not aligned. As I said, I was shooting these handheld, so they weren't quite aligned. So there is a slight discrepancy in the size of the images, but basically these are what came out of the camera. So next, let's look at what I'm going to call an environmental portrait of the guy who's been cutting my hair for the last 8 years, Chojiro Ishioka. He's the local barber, and here we have him outside his shop. I was actually testing both the G10 and a new lens. Like I say, I'll share that with you soon. And I have some shots with this new lens from the 1DS Mark III II, and I considered adding them here for comparison, but it simply wouldn't be fair, so I decided against this. Note that despite the fact that I'm shooting with an aperture of f2.8 on the G10 for this shot, almost everything in the scene is in focus. As you zoom away from the wide end of the lens, the aperture closes down, and so you get similar results. You know, the depth of field obviously gets deeper and deeper there. So, you know, getting a lot of bokeh when focusing on things that are sort of normal, you know, a few meters away is really just not possible. I should note that you can get some bokeh when you're shooting macros, and the macro mode actually enables you to focus on things as close as 1 centimeter from the tip of the lens, which might be fun to play with at some point. Anyway, I have to admit, I'm not overly happy with this image. It's a snapshot, and you know, not one that I would normally class as a portrait, but you know, if it was all I could shoot, it would be nice to have the option to at least shoot a photograph. And I think that, you know, this is what the G10 is all about. I'm not really imagining that I'm going to be out there doing fine artwork with this. I think it would be possible to do so if you're shooting landscapes, because, you know, you're going to want a lot of depth of field then. And, you know, I think it definitely would help hold up to that. You know, but it's, for a lot of the stuff that I shoot, it's not really going to be the camera. But then if I'm out shooting, you know, seriously shooting, then I'm going to have the 1DS with me. Or, you know, if I had any other digital SLR, that would be the camera I had with me. So this is really like a snapshot sort of camera. Drop it in the bag and shoot stuff when it catches your eye. And, you know, so I'm still enjoying that. I've been sort of whipping it out a few times on the way into the office for the day job, and, you know, just keep it in the bag. Got a few images of a thunderstorm this evening, just, you know, shortly before leaving. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, playing the part that I wanted it to. Next, we have three shots of the Mizuko statues at the Daienji Temple with the striking orange hats that we've looked at before. The first two were shot at f4.5 for 1/100th of a second at ISO 200, and the third at 1/80th of a second, and that was again at ISO 200. I'm just going to, you know, as we talk, I'm going to just flick through these on the Enhanced podcast. Nothing to write home about, but, you know, these will hopefully give you some idea of the sharpness of the images that the G10 is pumping out, and a little bit of a feel for the bokeh of subjects in the close foreground here in the third one. If you zoom in the PDF, you can check out the image quality pretty well, but also, like I say, the download of the full size will probably help as well. Next, there are two shots of the Buddha statue that people stick the gold leaf on into the places that they have ailments. And, you know, this will hopefully show how well the G10 deals with highlights in the gold. There's a little bit of bokeh in the background here too, because the statue was relatively close. But once again, I'm forced to use a relatively small aperture here because I'm zooming in some. Next, we have an image of two stone statues, again with orange hats. These were shot at ISO 1600. Now, of course, the stone is speckled anyway, so it kind of helps to hide the grain. But there, I think there really are some areas that the grain doesn't stand out that much. We can see a fair amount of grain in the dark of the neck in the foremost statue, though. And again, you know, in the dark along the far left side of the image. But it's not too bad at all for ISO 1600. You know, we've got another example shortly as well in which it is more prominent. It, you know, I would imagine for this one, though, you could use a little bit of artistic license and even say that the grain added to this image. You know, I know that there are people, and I've done it myself, that, you know, you can add grain to images for effect. And this is one of the occasions when I think it might even work in our favor. There's another shot of the farthest side statue alone at ISO 802. Which again is pretty good, but the subject being what it is, you can't really get a feel for the grain. Next, I went into the Gajoen Hotel in Meguro and shot one of their pieces of wall art with some people walking along the left. Again, shot at ISO 800. If you zoom in and inspect the image, there is some grain, but still, you know, a lot more usable than images from probably earlier compact cameras at ISO 800, before the guys at Nikon started to raise the bar, that is. Next, we have two shots of a wax paper umbrella and some fake autumn leaves, autumn-coloured leaves. The first one here is shot at ISO 800 with lots of dark to see the limited grain. And the second shot is at ISO 1600, which does show a lot more grain, but still reasonable, I guess. In addition to the grain, we can see that here, you know, the higher ISO image is definitely a little flatter. The colour of the umbrella is not quite as punchy as in the ISO 800 version. The next shot is a Porsche Cayenne, or whatever they call them, in the lobby of the Arco Tower building next to the Gajoen Hotel. This was a bit of a trip down memory lane for me, as I used to work in this building until we moved across town about this time last year. Again, at ISO 800, I was trying to get some shots of, with some varied subjects at high ISO to see how useful the high ISOs really are, especially as I was really sort of happy with this camera as a carry-around point-and-shoot in the lower ISO range. I really wanted to sort of to see how far I could push it. As you'd expect, the light areas the highlights show very little grain, but the darker areas like the painted bodywork does have much more. Depending on what you want to do with your shots, it's definitely usable, and you could probably clean this up quite well with Noise Ninja. And I haven't had a play around with that yet, but I guess that, if you use Noise Ninja or other similar noise reduction applications, you'd probably get a pretty good photo out of this. Almost done with the images, we have another ISO 800 image to look at quickly now. And this is of an old bar on the back streets on my way home. Again, a fair amount of noise, but very reasonable, and almost adding to the aged look of the subject. We then see an image of the Wendy's hamburger shop up near the station, and that's shot at ISO 400 with an aperture of f3.2 for 1/40th of a second. And this again, although showing some grain, still has a lot of detail. You can make out the facial features of the people inside the hamburger shop. So moving away now though from the high ISO images for the last three. I shot some construction in the town on the way into the office on two separate mornings. The first two I shot at ISO 100 and the third was at ISO 200. With both of these ISOs, they actually do show some grain, and it really sort of puts everything into perspective, as cramming all of these pixels into such a small sensor has probably caused Canon to have to run some pretty aggressive algorithms to construct the image in the first place. Still, as I say though, for a carry-around camera with the ability to go into full manual mode and some pretty nice optics as well, I really don't have much to complain about at all. Well, actually, there is one thing. There's this token ISO 3200, which I just wish wasn't there on principle. And I guess if I really wanted to nitpick, there's the fact that you have to press a button to switch the target of the dial on the back of the camera between shutter speed and aperture control, and then a third selection to actually change that. If you hit the same button, it gives you a third option to change the metering mode. This is a little bit of a pain, but keeping things in perspective, the fact is that it's a compact digital, and many compact digitals, all of this is buried in menus, so the fact that you can even get in there with a dial and one or two button presses to change things without jumping into the menus, it's pretty good. It makes it's not fast-paced controlling the camera like we're used to with digital SLRs, but, it's still pretty good when you keep things in perspective. There's also, the knurled dials on the top of the camera, the one on the left, if you're looking at the back where the LCD is, the one on the left there to change the exposure compensation, and then you've got the two nested ones on the right for the ISO and the shooting modes, and they're all sort of there with the dedicated dials. And on a camera of this size, it's just great. That reminds me too that this little camera also has spot metering, which I thought was pretty cool. The more I think about it, the more I realize that most of the controls that I regularly use are pretty easy to access, even if they aren't sort of always obvious without reading the manual. The controller dial on the back of the camera has like an outer ring that rotates, and then a second inner ring which you can use to, it's like an up, down, right, left push sort of action. And then there's a set button in the middle of the ring, so it's like a three function thing. The the button in the middle, the ring in the middle that you can go up, down, right and left. This is actually for, you know, as you push these things, you got it, you can get different functions. Again, they show up on the LCD, but, you know, basically that's a good, easy, quick way to get into, you know, some of the function changes. So, you know, for example, if you hit the bottom of this inner ring, that gives you the drive modes. So you can toggle between swing, single shot, continuous, and also continuous shooting AF, which follows your subject. And there's a longer timer and a 2-second timer mode here. And you can change the length of the timers in the custom functions inside the menu, which I thought was pretty cool. In the middle of this dial, excuse me, as I say, there's a function set button, and which if you press that when nothing else has been selected, it throws you into a sort of a quick settings menu. In here, you can change the white balance, the exposure bracketing, the flash exposure compensation, and the built-in neutral density filter settings. To change between the various autofocus modes, you need to hit the AF frame selection button and then the AE lock button, which then, you know, I mean, that's not very intuitive at first. You have to read this up in the manual. But once you've got the hang of that, it cycles you through the face detect mode, the AIAF mode, which is, it's like basically 9 AF frames, which automatically choose which one you want to, the camera wants to focus with. You can lock this, you know, to one large or small AF frame in the middle of the finder, or if you start to sort of shift that around, it becomes an active AF frame, which you can put basically over the subject, and, you know, just move it around the LCD. You can also set the camera to display an enlarged view of what you've focused on, to check that you're actually in focus as well, which I find very useful. It's difficult to see if you really are in focus, but it's sort of, I don't know exactly how many times it is, but it's like it blows up to like 2 times just in the middle of the LCD there. And it's really, really useful to be able to just check that. All of this, you know, it is a little bit less intuitive than most digital SLRs, but then again, we really shouldn't be comparing them, as they're two totally different things. And we should bear in mind that most of these settings are either not available on lesser compact digitals or buried deep into menus, you know, software menus. There's a lot of other stuff that I haven't covered. I'm not going to go into detail in the various scene modes, as I dare say I'll rarely use them, if ever. I also probably won't use the digital or, you know, for nothing other than a bit of fun, probably. It's, you know, it's really just not high enough resolution to be of much use artistically. And I guess, you know, I could use this to record a video cast or something like that, as I'd probably reduce the resolution, you know, to keep the file size down. But I haven't really thought about that. So, you know, no promises there. I'm sure that there's other stuff that I either forgot or just haven't come across yet in the first few days of using the G10. But I think I touched on everything that has impressed me. And, you know, the things that really that didn't, but as I say, in perspective, very, very little things. With everything taken into consideration, I'm very happy with this little camera. And I'm, you know, I'm happy that I now have something, finally, something that can just be slung into my bag or even into my pocket, and just carry with me everywhere for those times when I really don't want to be carrying around and, you know, an SLR and a few lenses. And there are, of course, other options, you know, in the compact digital range. And, you know, by all means, if you are looking for things, have a good shop around. For me, you know, this, I think that this is, I'm happy with what it is. And for around $500, if you are in the market for a high-end digital camera, I can definitely recommend the Canon PowerShot G10. So So that's it for today. Once again, just a quick reminder that if you listened to this episode before November the 6th, 2008, please vote for the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast under the education sections at the Podcasts Award or podcastawards.com website. You can vote every day until November the 6th. We might not win, but it sure would be nice to give it a try. So if you enjoy this podcast, please help out as much as you can. Anyway, with that, I'll sign off for today and catch up with you again next week. You have a great week, whatever you do. Bye-bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.